You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Disconnected 8 Central African Time, at the time of the evening, where we join our very own Anwar Qasim on his segment, Driving with Anwar. Anwar, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful evening, Anwar?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, brother Shafad. Very, very well evening.
I tell you, good to have you, Anwar. I can feel the power. I can feel the horsepower. Now, you know, where you get that energy from, Anwar? You have a heavy day. You do everything. The trucks are there. The Mercedes-Benz comes in. The Ferraris come in. The Porsche comes in. The Ford Mustang comes in. The Jeep comes in. Where do you get the energy, Anwar? Do you have a horse-powered engine?
Honestly, brother Shafat, I drag myself in my home every single day. But listening to your voice, definitely, it has you say, you know, it resonates with a lot of energy. So I think you actually bring out the horsepower in me.
Nah, we are one, Anwar. I really like you and I really love the way your positivity, how it resonates on your segment, Driving with Anwar. And you got style, Anwar. Well, we notice, you know, let's talk a little bit about economy. You look at this scenario that's taking place in Ukraine, impacting all over the world. You get these Saudis and you get the Chinese and you get Putin selling his gas and oil in rubles, and the Chinese are going for the yuan. What's your take on this scenario? Will the dollar die, Anwar?
You know, they actually introduced the euros, I think we all are aware, to kill off the dollar itself to a certain point. But somehow it hasn't really struck its mark as yet. If you're considering the Ukraine war, every time there's a war, if you look at Bosnia, you look at all our Muslim countries, obviously it does affect, it does streamline all the way to the other countries because it has some form of a ripple effect, I would say. You know, so obviously, I think one of the topics today was about Berlin, where they had a 3,000 strong march, and exactly the same. It's all to do with the Ukraine war, because in the last 70 years, I think their food, the inflation rate went up by 10.4%, the worst ever in the last 70 years. So likewise, I really can't understand why, but I think I know to a point, like if you look at South African economy itself, you know, you find that everything seems to be going up. So likewise, every country is feeling the brunt of the Ukraine war that's taking place at the moment. You know, Belshepard, in the good old days, I suppose, you know, you send a few good men out there and you battle it out in the battlefield and you come back home and everything's settled by a handshake. But unfortunately, nowadays, you find there's imminent wars taking place at some part of the world at any given time. It seems like one stops and another starts. And obviously, it keeps the world at ransom because, I mean, there's a lot of poor people. Over 7 billion people inhabit the planet, you know, and obviously not everyone is rich. You know, a lot of people are under the breadline. So, you know, obviously it impacts them the most. You know, when it comes to the rich itself, alhamdulillah, you know, Almighty has gifted quite a few. And you find they also, you know, have to tighten the belts because of the taxes and all they have to pay. So the pity also goes out to them because of some unfortunate war that takes place in some part of the world.
Yeah, well said there, Anwar, and well observed. Well, you know, you notice a lot of carnage taking place on the road, trucks, accidents, and I believe there's this frenzy to get the coal to the harbors because, you know, the export or these European countries are all clamoring for coal, and South Africa quietly but, you know, very fervently pushing the coal through and all going, I believe, the choice grade coals that are going through. But whilst these trucks are traveling, there's accidents upon accidents. And then we notice that the Durban Metro Police plans to turn to smart policing tools to curb road carnage. Talk to us about that. What type of tools are these, Anwar?
You know, they actually came out with the licensing plate recognition systems. It's a handheld device, basically similar to a phone, obviously a little bulkier, that can actually, the RTI vehicles, I think, is fitted on with these quite a while now. And you find that all the trucks will be monitored, the discs will be scanned, the license discs will be scanned, so they will know immediately whether the vehicles are licensed, whether the truck drivers, you know, is in possession of a valid driver's license. You know, unfortunately, Belshafat, we see between 12 to 14,000 deaths every single year on our roads in South Africa. And with the system in place, and, you know, the amazing part is they came up with a new system, another small system, a mobile scale system, where a truck, you know, can actually go on it and they'll see whether it's overloaded as such. So, alhamdulillah, it's brilliant work from the Minister of Transport. And also, I think he failed to actually mention quite a few items, you know, that is really of concern. One is the conditions of the road. The second is the corruption that actually takes place in all the licensed departments, enabling all the drivers to get their most of the drivers at least, to get their license, you know, under the table, as you may put it, right? And also, load shedding. Because a simple thing has load shedding, you find a lot of people are not accustomed to first come, first go at the robots. And you find that also, you know, exhibit quite a few deaths on our roads. So, you know, if I was, for word's sake, made Minister of Transport for a day, I'd actually, you know, have a different system running where the robots are never really killed off in load shedding, firstly. Secondly, with the amount, a considerable amount of money that we spend on fuel that goes, supposed to be going towards the road works, and we cannot actually find one stretch of road that does not have potholes or unevenness. Right. So emphasis should be on that also, you know. And when it comes to corruption, stem it, you know, cut it right at the root of the problem. Go to, I mean, everyone knows it exists, you know. We can't lie to ourselves anymore. So those are all fundamental roots of problems that actually can. But instead, they are imposing or coming out of this new type of laws, this handout system, once again to generate, you know, an income for the government, which I find to a point might work. But really speaking, they're not actually cutting off the route, are they? So, you know, also the Minister of Transport, he made some valid point, you know, and he feels it's quite valid and relevant because he actually says that from now on, he's passing a law where virtually every day school kids must learn about the roads itself, the road safety, and once they start driving and, you know, the implications if you get caught under the influence. And now you're teaching kids this year. You know, so according to his knowledge, he feels that by the time they leave school, they'll have a firm grasp as to what accidents is all about. So, Shafat, I know it's a shot in the dark here, you know. If you can find a way to actually curb the road deaths, yes. How do you curb it? Limit all the trucks. Limit the acceleration on these vehicles. That will be one. Screen test. Only when a serious multiple accident takes place concerning a heavy vehicle, then only you find the owner of the companies are liable. I'm not saying hold people liable. All I'm saying is every now and again, do a test check on these guys. You know, so they also know they need to spend the X amount of money to make sure that the vehicle braking system X, Y, and Z is all up to par so we can actually stop this carnage on those roads. So there are a number of actually important aspects of Minister of Transport actually failed to address when it comes to road carnage.
You know, Anwar, a valid point indeed. Fikile Mbalula needs a catch up, wake up. You know, look at these students at school. They're burning schools, they're stabbing the teachers, they're killing each other, they're taking guns to school. You know, if they don't get their way, they go on a rampage. I mean, how are you going to teach these kids all this? And, you know, sadly, most of them have succumbed to lawlessness. Anwar, your thoughts?
You know, I think, you know, I honestly, blatantly hold the government responsible, Minister of Education responsible for this. But so far, I think a lot of listeners out there will agree with me. There was a thing called guidance counseling in school, where every week, I think we used to go for one session or one period. We used to go to a guidance room, you know, and it was a free time. It was a beautiful time. It was basically, you know, our time. You know, just to unwind. And once a week, a lesson used to be taught about X, Y, and Z, whatever it was. But I feel also, and issues that used to be addressed at the time was of importance, you know. And the second part also, that would also actually help towards unemployment that we have, is they cut out a thing called handiwork. You know, people don't know. And now, you know, you find a lot of people go to a matric and they're not sure what they're going to be. But it actually defines you. So if our educational department kept those two items on the agenda, you know, I think it would have made a very great impact. Because really speaking, there was an incident not very long ago I read about, and where these kids were stabbed and they need counseling. And there was no counselor present, because no schools really have guidance counselors. I suppose the private schools might actually inhabit that, but when it comes to government schools, they don't have that really, and people are not really, they don't hold the qualification to perform the task, you see. So I think, you know, that you need to go back to root levels again when it comes to the educational system, and then only can we once again root out the problem that's, you know, we can foresee that's bound to happen. Because as much as the people or the adults are frustrated, obviously we know if you come from a frustrated home where the couple is frustrated, it streams down to the kids, and obviously the kids will display that act of violence with other kids. So we've got to cut out all this, you know, and in order to do it, considering that our kids spend most amount of time in schools, I feel personally, as the Minister of Transport says, you know, we need to learn about road safety, we need to learn about life itself. And I think they should actually introduce guidance counseling again in schools.
Good point indeed, Anwar. And, you know, you look at all these different scenarios that takes place. And I think the valid point that you made was the home environment is not right. And this scenario of single parenting, the kids don't even know who their fathers are and so forth. All this is adding to the instability of our society in this country. And then we look at better safe than sorry. Make your vehicle December ready. How do you do that, Anwar? Make your vehicle December ready with the price of fuel going up again.
You know, I suppose it's a, you know, we'll call it a silly season or festive season. You can name it whatever you want. You know, everyone's got some form of name for it. You know, there's a certain amount of atmosphere that goes with it. And people feel they need to really actually get out of the province or take some long drives just to unwind for the year that they try to leave behind. And, you know, sadly enough, for the fuel prices, as you mentioned, that, you know, the prices have gone through the roof. The cost of inflation is so high. And a lot of people I've been speaking to, you know, lately, they're not really going out for holidays. They're going to take the occasional day drives, you know, to an area back and forth. But whatever it may be, you know, when it comes to the vehicle's roadworthiness, it's not a matter of whether you get a ticket or not. It's your safety. I think that is why people, you know, the amount of accidents, they don't prioritize their own life. They're more worried if a cop sees them or whatever it is. Then they run for the seatbelt, you know, then they go and change a tire after you get a fine. I think the, you know, the people generally have the misconception, you know, they try to evade cops and they feel so good about it. Hey, you know, there was a roadblock and we evaded it. And, no, that shouldn't be the scenario, really. You know, and all said, you know, Shafat, when it comes to maintenance of a vehicle, I know it's crucial. I know the prices are quite high because I do come from a workshop background. And it's sad when people come into my shop and you realize that they don't have that amount of money to fix that amount of thing. So what I generally do, I emphasize on certain aspects when it comes to suspension, braking systems, tires especially, you know. So these are things that we need to worry about. And when it comes to, as you say, the silly season, you know, obviously we know we got a very rainy season ahead of us over the next few months. Wipers is a must. When it comes to traveling, you've got to travel light also. And in order to travel light, obviously you get to save fuel. Your tires has to be at the right pressure. You've got to have all the emergency equipment, you know, at hand, especially the triangle, not only because it's slow, because it can actually save your life. Make sure your battery and your cell is, you know, well charged, because you don't know sometimes if something goes wrong and if you're in a deserted, remote place, nobody can get hold of you. And, you know, so there's quite a number of things. You know, I think it's time people put themselves forward, or put themselves first, Shafat, and then after, and realize the cost of life. You know, it's something that you cannot replace. And then somehow the other budget for maintenance, budget for tires, sort out your braking system. You know, alhamdulillah, you know, with all this, you know, all the small contributing factors, you find that you not only tend to save money in the long run, but also, you know, your driving techniques you need to change, the way you take off, the way you brake. You know, you find that your vehicle itself lasts you much longer. And I think one of the most crucial points will be obviously speed, and that goes without saying. You know, one of my thoughts were actually, you know, when it comes to festive periods in the year, you know, holiday seasons, I would actually expect the government to actually impose a law where instead of going, doing 120 Ks, do 100 Ks, because you know everyone's going to do 120, 180 Ks an hour, you know, impose some form of restriction for that period of time, because we all know that when it comes to December period of time, you know, there's a lot of road dips, you know, so we need to actually, you know, take control of the months that we have those dips and try to, you know, overlook it or find some way to overcome it.
Yeah, and what as you're talking about, thousands of protests in Berlin over price rises, and you know that part of the world has got a problem because soon, you know, because of the gas price and so forth, and you know, this Ukrainian war and all that, these people are going to freeze, and now you know the price rises and this all that, just because they're doing the bidding on behalf of the Americans, and they prefer, you know, I told Abu Bakr, see that earlier on. They're prepared to sacrifice themselves for the Americans. What's your thoughts on that, Anwar?
You know, sadly enough, if you look at a lot of our Muslim countries, they also do exactly the same, Brother Shafat. You know, we can't shift blame onto other countries also, because, I mean, if you look at Saudi itself, for words, they do exactly the same, you know. So it's not a matter of whether you need to bow down to another country. You know, I actually admire our president from Pakistan, you know, and he actually made it very, very clear. And he basically wasn't backing for two sides, as the media portrayed him. And he said foremost, if people actually listen to him, says, you know, the first consideration or the first importance in my life as prime minister is my people. And if leaderships in countries actually look at it from that point, they should consider the people first. They shouldn't be forecasting what's to happen or whether they'll join certain agenda or whether they'll be outcast. No, they should actually consider the people, what the people want. If you look at Berlin itself, they're going through such a trying time at this present moment, you know, and nobody wants to listen to them. You know, because obviously, as you mentioned, the gas, the food prices, everything seems to be going up. And so the government of the country actually decided, you know what, we need to actually tax people, you know, the higher income people much more, so we get a better income out of it. And that will also be selfish and unfair, you know. So I really don't think, you know, when it comes to this, whether it's this war that's spiraling out of control, you know, where the people or the governments of the country should really voice their personal opinions. They should actually voice the opinions of the people of the country, because after all, they need to consider that they were only elected by the people of that country. And sadly enough, they never considered thereafter, Brother Shafat.
You know, Anwar, you make valid points there indeed. And this is what America has done. I mean, they said, okay, you know, they bombed the Nord Stream pipelines and so forth. And then America went and widened the Panama Canal and has decided, you know, they're doing a lot of fracking and they do all this. They got a lot of gas and they got all these things. They got a lot of oil, too. My mother has stolen a lot of oil from Iraq. And they are going to supply Europe, but at 10 times the price of what the Europe was buying it from Russia. And, you know, you can see it. The proof is right in front of you. And they've been played at, Anwar, but how are they still accepting it?
You know, it's sadly enough, you know, when it comes to, as you mentioned, 10 times as high, you know, we all know the monetary value is actually sustained through gold and through oil, whoever has the oil reserves. And I know China is quite big in that, you know, but then you look on the other side, you're talking about the green piece, the green world as such, you know, emission free on one side. And yeah, we're still talking about gas. Wars are fought over oil. You know, they should have had better sustainable energy in the interim or in the time that they spend killing each other, really. And when it comes to, you know, taking over countries, I mean, we did shows, Brother Shafat, some time back, and 60% of our country is owned by foreign countries itself. Will tell you, like China, America. America owns, I think, about 40% of our country, you know. So we shouldn't really go so far as to the European countries when it comes to America, because if you look at most of the major stakeholders in this country is Americans, you know. So likewise, I think, you know, like China, where they actually plant their country in every country, America is doing exactly the same thing. You know, but, you know, sadly, I won't say sadly, you know, you don't find India actually doing that. They're also one of the superpowers of the world. You don't find Russia doing that. You'll only find countries like America, countries like China, you know, because, as you know, we all know one world power. They want one person to basically run the whole world. I mean, if you look at the presidency of any country right now, they can't control a few million people. How do you control over 7 billion people? You know, one world order has such. So, Brother Shafat, we can end up talking about Freemasons and about all this new world order that's about to come. That's another day, another topic, I'm very, very sure. But it's sad that, you know, everyone seems to be jumping onto the bandwagon when it comes to the Ukraine war. You know, exactly, I mean, you don't look too far. If you look at the mirror and we look at COVID, nobody knew initially when this country went on lockdown for the first few weeks. None of us in this country knew of anyone really having COVID. Personally, nobody knew. We just heard about COVID. When finally, and what did our country do? We locked the whole country. We dropped the economy. People lost their jobs. Factories closed down. But when COVID did hit this country, finally, months and months later, what happened? Our government opened everything so it can just spread like wildfire. Why? Because he wanted to gain from the money from other countries. So I suppose, you know, I don't think we'll actually win this debate, Brother Shabbat, when it comes to the thinking power of the people that actually runs countries.
Yeah, the Shaitani system has come to the fore. And as you said, that vaccination, Allahu Alam, they threw half, three quarters, or most of it got expired and so forth. Well, that's another story altogether. Anwar, before we go, perhaps your parting words this evening?
No, alhamdulillah, Shafat, we started off, I think, with the silly season in place. You know, there's so much. I think we, most of us are linked to this Mahomes' death. You know, that takes place and every single day. You know, sometimes my wife comes to me, Shafi, you know, today, on this one group, about 7 people passed away, 12 people passed away. And you think about it for the moment. You know, I actually had pleasure somehow walking the Kabbalistan, looking at the ages. You know, I feel that is real. The life that we love is not real. So whatever life we were entrusted to, you know, look after it the best way we can. You know, whether it comes to your motor vehicle, your safety, your speed limit, whatever it is, you know, you might pass away, but that loss, you know, lingers on for family members that is left behind. You know, and sadly enough, there's so many mayors that seem to be going too lately, Brother Shafar. And it saddens me with the way the deaths are taking place right now. And majority of them are not natural. So, inshallah, you know, our brothers and sisters out there, just look after yourself. Especially, you know, as you say, we've got one last time, the silly season. Just watch the kids out there. There's so much of nonsense taking place with these kidnappings and such. You know, look after yourselves. And inshallah, we'll get to have some form of topic in the years to come.
JazakAllah khair for those lovely words, Anwar. Very sincere indeed. And you have a blessed evening ahead. We will talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Anwar Qasim, they're keeping us up to speed, people. A lot of horsepower coming through. And time for us to go for the Isha Azan. And inshallah, we will continue after that.